Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast for hot, hip and happening midlifers. Hot because we're flushing all over the place, hip because we all need new ones, and happening because we're dead fashionable, i.e. we wore 90s fashion in the 90s. I'm Sarah Kaywood and my co-host is delectable Lou Mitchell, all the way over there in sunny Stamford in Lincolnshire. It's a bit posh, like Lou.
Thank you very much.
Do you mind me saying you're posh?
Couldn't give a monkey's, mate.
Oh, good. It occurred to me when I wrote it. I was like, I wonder if she gets offended by me by saying she's posh all the time. You love it.
No. You love it. No, it's all right. I'm holding on to my working class roots. Don't you worry. I just went to a posh school.
She went to boarding school, people. How are you, babe? You all right?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm still trying to sort my sleep out, but I'll get there, I am sure. Okay, I'm getting about 4 hours sleep a night. Sorry, I've just given away who our guest
is.
No,
it's fine. No, I don't care.
Spot the person, not a professional.
You ready? I've got a whole preamble, but it's Kate Thornton. Anyway, let me just talk. I'm going to do an intro first. Right, so let me just quickly tell you, I can't walk today. I can barely walk because Lou's been taking the piss out of me for this. I did legs, bums and tums for the first time yesterday. I said,
she's totally stuck in the, well, I said 90s to be polite, but she did point out it's probably more 80s. Like the 80s.
Legs, bums and tums, people.
Legs, bums and tums.
Yes, it's, what's that word, menopause, brain fog, when, oh, it's deceptive. Deceptively looks easy, it's not, it's hard and it hurts. Right, anyway, let's get on to Kate Thornton. Our guest today is one of television's true professionals, having enjoyed a career spanning nearly 30 years. Spending her formative years in print media, she was the first woman and youngest ever editor of Smash Hits magazine, FYI, before moving into TV and presenting, I know, and presenting some proper bangers over the years, from The X Factor to Loose Women to This Morning. Most recently, she's taken to the airwaves, hosting her own show on Greatest Hits Radio, presenting shows on Radio 2, and now she can add hit podcaster to the long list with White Wine Question Time, which frankly is a bit of us. We are here for it and all the other very 21st century ways of saying we think it's rather good. Aww. Please welcome Kate Thornton!
That's so kind.
Babe, how are you?
I'm good. How are you both?
Yeah, we're really well. Now, we touched on this just before we started recording. I said I was going to say some things about Kate, and Lou and I were like, ooh, what? Do you know, Kate always had a reputation when I was in telly of being what we call a safe pair of hands.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
A true professional. They were like, you want a safe pair of hands for this live show? Get Thornton in. She just is unflappable, she just doesn't make mistakes. You know, she's
a pro.
To deck at that sort of thing.
Oh, I do. Yeah, she's a true pro. Make mistakes. I like it when things go wrong. I love the moments I live for are the moments where it all goes wrong. I like the wheels coming off. It's exciting. Is that wrong?
Yeah, but you can style your way out of it. Perhaps that's what being a safe pair of hands is.
Maybe. I don't know.
I remember once doing... Well, I did Party in the Park once and I just dried on air. And
did you? Oh, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse. And a minute can be such a long time when you've got nothing to say.
Die a little bit inside. I was like, oh, no.
Not that I think you've ever not got something to say, Miss Kaywood.
I know, I haven't experienced that, Kate. I literally haven't experienced the silence of the Kaywood.
Irregular
bitches.
Do you remember coming to my first ever flat to do a pilot for Lee Francis?
Gosh. Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was years ago. That was when he was Barry Gibson.
Yeah, one of them. I think it was Around the Bear as well.
And oh, he came the bear.
It's like a pulp song. Because Kate... Yeah, oh, the bear.
See,
Kate
the bear.
Came into my flat and I'd literally just bought it.
Well, no, it's just come back to haunt me because my son Googled me one night when he was... He was not. He was on a sleepover, and he was missing his mum. So he Googled me. I mean, it's the weirdest thing, right? That your kid can Google you. And he found. Cute. He found a thumbnail of me and who he knows as Matilda's dad, right? Lee Francis. So he's like, oh, and it was the bear, and the bear has a massive hard on. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Oh, that's traumatizing. Poor lad.
Oh no. I mean, how old is he? Is he 15?
He's 14 now, but this is a while back. And he was like, what? Right. Why would Lee do that to you? Why is he a bear?
Because he's a freak. Well, no, the character was a freak. Lee isn't a freak. So, yeah, Kate came over to do this pilot. And I remember it was like a pulp song. There was wood chip on every single wall. And it was, I was slightly embarrassed about the state of this doer-upper that I'd bought for 120. Well, I bought it for 120 grand. Wow. So that's showing my age.
You should be proud of yourself for buying any property full stop, let alone don't worry about the wood chip on the wall. It was all the rage back then, babe. We just painted over it, didn't we?
We did.
Yes, that's exactly what we did.
Nobody ever went, oh, this is horrible, let's take it off. We're like, oh, we better paint it. Let's paint it green so it'll really show.
So true. I painted mine dark burgundy.
It's kind of like white dog poo, though. You just don't see it anymore.
I know. We miss it. I don't miss the white dog poo.
No, we don't.
I don't miss the wood chip either.
No.
Can I tell you a fact I found out about Kate today when I was... I didn't need to research that much. Just wanted to check I got all the shows and everything.
Can I just say, I love the look of fear that goes over Kate's face whenever you say anything like that.
It's just the thought of anyone Googling me is just
what
horrific.
What the fuck is she going to come out with?
Do you know what? I think I'd rather stand in Trafalgar Square naked than look at my Google search results.
This is a good one. Apparently, go on. Kate was the one that is basically directly responsible for Candle in the Wind being reborn as the Diana anthem. That's what it said. Because what's
just because you said it doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah, but you tell the story.
I did play it.
You tell the story.
Oh, make it true,
you did
Kate.
Play it.
I did play it. I played it over. I was on air the day Diana died, and I had to cut together a tribute package to her as princess of the young, you know, for young causes. And I didn't. It was a Sunday when she died, and there was no access to the music library on a Sunday. So I literally had to just use whatever music I had in my car. I just got back from a holiday in Ibiza. All I had was like club music and Elton John's greatest hits. So it was a toss-up between sort of sad songs. No. Yours, no. I was going through the track listing, no. And then I was like, yes, she was our Norma Jean. She was our Marilyn. That works. And then I guess other people heard it and adopted it, and it built from there. But listen, somebody was always going to be the first person to play it. You know, and maybe I was. I don't know.
I think you should take that.
There's probably somebody out there that did it before me, and I just feel like they would be madly disingenuous to claim it unless I could prove it.
Well, I think it's been proved. Anyway, another question for you. Do you remember the 90s?
Yes. Because I didn't really drink in the 90s.
How come?
I remember more than most, actually. Because I was busy. I was working. And do you know what? I was just having such a good time. I didn't need to alter my state. My state was amazing. Mm. I was, you know, I was presenting and traveling and just, you know, seeing the world, having the time of my life. The idea of sort of blotting that down just seemed like a madness. So actually, you know, I went to all the parties, but I can remember them all. I had a great time, you know. I probably drink, you know, I drink more now as a mother than I ever did as a ladette from the 90s. That's not true. I'm being facetious.
We hear you.
I think the noughties were more of a lost decade for me, really, because I'd only just started my TV career in the 90s. So I was too scared to get shit-faced at a party in case somebody didn't want to hire me for the next job. I was like, oh, better be good, you know.
Or if you had a show to get up for the next day, you can't do the sort of shows that I was making with a crashing hangover. You just can't. And I didn't want to. I loved, you know, I wanted to be present and in the moment because the moments were brilliant. They were exceeding all my expectations ever. So, like, it just didn't didn't make sense to me. I mean, I used to drive everywhere. I was known for it. Mm. And I could nurse a glass of wine all night. Mm.
I remember you driving everywhere, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And it just didn't bother me. And then I'd just have a coffee and go home, you know. But I was happy. I was always, yeah. you know, very happy not to, and, but never stood in judgment of anyone that was like, you know, scraping themselves off the floor.
I did. I mean, I can't lie. There was the Odd Festival. Right, but you not when I was working, but there was. Do you feel proud to have been such a part of such an important time in youth culture? Because really, Kate, actually, you were properly on the front line. Like, you were in print magazine all the way through, like, from Smash Hits. What, were you 22 when you edited Smash Hits? 22?
No, 21.
21? Bloody hell, woman!
So young.
I mean, I need to change amazing. That Wikipedia page. Somebody's put it on there as 22. Yeah, 21. 21. Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, no, listen.
I love,
you know, but you
Smash
don't
Hits.
Sit there at the time and think, oh, I'm at the forefront of, you know, all this that's happening. You're just so immersed in it. It's only when you look back that you go, wow, what a time to be alive and what a place to be living, you know, in the editor's chair at Smash Hits or hosting Top of the Pops or you know, launching Pop Idol, whatever it was. You know, those were moments that sort of, will forever be, you know, they will forever culturally sort of help to define, not define, but help to contribute to defining that time. And yeah, it's amazing. It was the best. I was the luckiest.
Yeah, we had a great time. We did. You had a great time too, didn't you, Lulu?
So I'm 52 this year. So I'm a couple of years older than both of you. So I've just recently joined a rave group on Facebook. I know. And it's sent you all these photographs because I started raving in the 80s. Everybody else was like, no, 90s, 90s. I was like late 80s underground clubs, thoroughly enjoying myself.
Good for
Thank you.
You
very much. It's just literally taking me back to it. And some of the photographs are hilarious, except I've just had somebody say, Lou, I can't believe it's you. And I'm looking at them going,
Now, doesn't it? Yeah.
You're going to have to ask them, Louise. You're going to have to just come clean and ask.
I can't. I don't want to know.
Good for you, though.
Irregular.
Bitches.
I'm 50 in August. You're 50 next year, aren't you? Are you deep into the menopause madness? Is that happening in Thornton Land?
Yes. And perimenopause, definitely. 100%. Yes. And what a picnic it is from hell.
Are you struggling, though?
No, not at the moment I'm not, but I have most definitely. I think that I've managed to get... I think I managed to get a handle on it, but it's taken a while to get there. It is, you know, it's such an upheaval. It knocks you off your feet. Not everybody. Everybody has a different experience of it. I've found it to be mind-blowingly, bewilderingly tricky... at times, but now, you know, having experimented with the right kind of HRTs to work for me and getting the doses right, wrapping lifestyle around it, changing the way I exercise. I mean, you can't just rely on one thing to fix you, all of those things. So everything changes at a time when you don't recognize yourself. You can't remember anything. You're irrational. You're emotional. You're sad. You're angry, you're all of those things at any given moment for no good reason. Right. And I found that really hard. But I have approached it like I would approach a documentary. I've researched the hell out of it. I've armed myself with information. I've grilled doctors endlessly. And I think it's really important that you find the right doctor for you. Mm-hmm. Because this is somebody that's going to be with me now. My doctor's amazing, but, you know, I kissed a few frogs to get to her. Not that anybody else was bad. It's just that she got me. She's an absolute expert in this field. And I think it's a lot to expect our general practitioners to become sudden menopause experts when they're not even obliged to study it to qualify in the first place, you know? So there's you know, there's all kinds
of... The first problem.
Which is like everybody's sort of entry point into trying to figure out how to deal with this. So it becomes a lottery. Is my doctor any good? Have they done, you know... an e-module online that's available to them to learn more about the menopause, or have they not? You just don't know. So there's a lot of that. And the doctor that I've got now is phenomenal. And she never said, I'm going to give you, you know, a magic cure. It's like, let's try to find the treatment that works for you. And everything's trial and error. You've got to give everything sort of at least 3 months to see if it's working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 18 months on, I feel like me again, but it's been 18 months where some days I just didn't know myself.
Mm. Well, how long has it taken you to sort of get to the point where you're feeling in control?
I guess is
the way we're feeling. Oh, I certainly feel out of control anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's, and it's a really nice, I feel like I'm having a holiday from my menopausal self at the moment, and it's really nice to be sort of revisiting the old me. But equally, you know, I've learned enough to understand that actually what I'm taking now at the moment, you know, and I use lots of different things. I've used supplements, I've used CBD oil, I absolutely have lent in on HRT, and not all of it worked for me, but I got there in the end. And mm-hmm. don't give up would be my advice. Just because maybe the patches don't work for you, well, try the gels. And if the gels are out of stock because we're having this
crisis,
unforgivable kind of deficit of product to meet demand to help all of these women that are really trying their very best to, you know, get their hands on it.
And get their
minds back, get their bodies back, because it all goes all at once. It's like somebody comes and pulls all your wires out and then you can't remember which go. I mean, it's your haywire.
You have just described, of all the guests we've had on, you've probably, in a nutshell, described it the best. And also the HRT thing. It's like buying a pair of jeans,
nailed
isn't it.
It?
You have to shop around to find the jeans that fit you best. Yeah. And I just think HRT is very much that.
100%. See, I only started adding in, I started using CBD oil because I really started suffering with anxiety in a way I hadn't in my entire adult life, pretty much. And that really frightened me because it would come from nowhere. And you just have to learn to work your way through it and be okay with it. And so I found CBD oil to help with that. But actually, I didn't start using anything like that until I'd got what I felt was my HRT right.
Right.
And I did with the gel. Like, for example, the gel worked for me, and then it stopped working. And it stopped working because there were issues around distribution and some batches weren't good, and you wouldn't know if you got a good batch or not. So then I had to move on to a spray, a Lanzetto spray, because my doctor felt that she couldn't prescribe with confidence the gel, which works when it's transported correctly, but not when it isn't. So you can't confidently prescribe that product. So then you start again and you're like, oh, but that really worked for me and I was good again. And then back you go to the beginning. And I've tried all kinds of things, you know, from oral progesterone to a coil. I take testosterone, which has been a complete game changer for me. But then on top of that, I eat differently. I exercise differently. So I've changed a lot. What I did that was wrong in the first place was I tried to do it all at once because I was just attacking it. I was like, right. Mm. It's me against you. I'm going to win.
Me against me.
Yeah.
Shut up. Sit down. Yeah. It's me. Exactly. It's me against me. And then you keep, you know, it's a lot.
Irregular.
Bitches. Can I ask what how you exercise differently now then?
So I don't do anything like HIIT anymore or cardio. I do a bit of cardio, but excuse me. I do weight training, weight bearing exercise, resistance and strength training because that's better for our bodies as we get older. It also means that you're not holding on some of that cortisol, which can then, it's like a stress adrenaline, isn't it? Mm. Cortisol, which can then sit as fat. And also, you know, your body goes through, you know, I certainly did, extreme bloating, water retention, you know, so it's understanding that actually the best way to treat water retention is to drink loads of water. But in order for your body to get kind of to the right levels, you have to do that consistently. Everything takes time and you're in a place where all you want is a quick fix. And they're just, I don't think there is one.
Oh, you're so wise. Sadly. You always were. Kate and I used to have the same agent and I would always be, but she was like, I know Kate's going to have the answer to this. She's very fantastic. You know what you are? You're like a baby Miriam Stoppard.
Not true.
You're like, I think, you know, you could just sort us out. That's a compliment, by the way, because Louise is laughing.
That,
like,
but
not.
You know, if
Louise, that is a compliment.
But if you'd have spoken to me a year,
I mean, I suppose we're all going to know who Miriam Stoppard was, but certainly my kids wouldn't.
Well, they're not listening.
But then
they
wouldn't be listening to this. No.
But you say that, you know, a year ago I didn't have any of the answers. I just had a load of questions that I couldn't remember half the time because I couldn't remember anything. So it all depends on when you kind of talk to me about this. I'm in a much better place where I can reflect and share some learnings. And these are just things that have worked for me, by the way. They might not work for you or anyone else. Yeah. It's just finding, you have to learn to listen to your body, and you also have to learn to look after yourself. And it's like taking on a job you haven't applied for, you didn't want, you don't get paid for, on top of an already stretched load. You know, I'm a full-time working single parent. I don't have the bandwidth to then take on the job of being menopausal and trying to fix that. But I've had to create time, which is slowing down, exercising properly, walking a lot, drinking loads of water, eating shit boring food, and going through very steady steps of using different doses or different products of HRT until I landed on the ones that were right. And if you'd have told me at the beginning it was going to take 18 months, I would have been furious. But now, fortunately, my hormones are balanced and I'm less angry.
Can I just ask you, Kate? I've started taking collagen because I said to Kate over a voice note recently, I was like, why does your hair always look epic? She was like, collagen, babe, collagen. So I'm taking one now. I've only just started though, so I haven't noticed a difference yet, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
But again, what works for me might not work for you, and vice versa. And also, this time next week, my hormones could spike and everything that I'm doing won't be enough. And then I go back again. And that's what you have to expect and
exactly.
be prepared for.
It's so frustrating. So frustrating that it's not just a fix. That's it. I'm done until, you know, I'm however old. It's like, it's going to change.
It's going to change because you'll change. You know, it's like we're reversing up the driveway of youth.
I've never been any good at that.
I weave
around all over the place.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Right, well, let's back out of the cul-de-sac of menopause, and I want to talk about white wine question time, because I remember you starting it thinking, what an epic idea. So it's 2018, wasn't it? What gave you the idea? Was it just like, how can I get pissed with my mates and earn money for it?
We're about to be corrected.
Oh, were we not? Is it not 2018? No. It was before lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was the first week of 2019. I just thought, I'm going to crash in on dry Jan, so almost right.
Oh, good girl.
And absolutely, yes. Been 3.5 years now. Over 200 guests. And I've loved it. It's my dream show. I wrote it and came up with the idea and got it on its feet. And at a time when there weren't, you know, not everybody podcasted in the way that they do now. There was certainly less of us. So I was able to kind of find my way to an audience probably a lot quicker than you would find today if you were launching from scratch.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we started at the end of 2019, didn't we, Lou? Was that? Yes, so we worked.
We did.
Was it 2019? Yes, 20. Yeah, because we worked all the way
through
lockdown.
Yes, it was, because it was lockdown then by March. Yeah. So we started recording from home.
So do you genuinely sit and drink wine? Do you want to sit and have a glass of wine?
Not every episode, because some people are recovering alcoholics, or it's 9 o'clock in the morning and it's, you know, inappropriate. Or they might be at work on a filming break. But fundamentally, more often than not, yes, absolutely.
I just think that's lovely, because it just makes it. I mean, even if you're only having the odd glass, none of us menopausal women can drink that much anymore, especially wine. But it just is just, it's like it becomes a conversation. It just is.
It does.
I mean, podcasting is very relaxed anyway, but even more so, I think. Can I just ask your white wine of choice, Miss Thornton?
It changes. I quite like a Gavi at the moment, but I will always head first to a Chablis.
Ah, yes.
Nice.
What, Lute, when you used to drink
and
white
wine?
And if
I'm in a Wetherspoons, it's got to be a Sauvignon.
Oh, no, they're too peachy. Yes. They're too peachy for me. I can always smell the peaches. The peachy. I am an ABC girl, but except I'm not. I'm a bit fussy in that, which my dad coined this phrase, anything but Chardonnay.
Yeah, I don't like Chardonnay.
Yeah, I probably fit into that.
Yeah, but actually,
I like a Sancerre.
I like a Sancerre with Christmas dinner, weirdly. Ooh. But I love a Pinot Grigio. Just say light. Something light.
I see, I'm not a Pinot fan.
You've lost me.
No, really? Chenin Blanc,
No.
No, not Pinot. Blanc, too sweet. Lovely. I don't like sweet wine.
Too light for me.
Yeah.
Wow, you're on my own.
I need something
girls.
A bit more punchy.
Yeah, Lou, I'm with you. I think if you're going to have a couple of glasses, you want to feel the effects, right? Nothing too light and like, was that
right.
Was that squash? No.
There we go.
Yeah.
Exactly. I need more. What,
so this irregular bitches recommends, Kate Thornton's recommendation for white wine is a nice Gavi. I'm with you on the Gavi, actually. And also, I think you get to our age, you're not spending a fiver on a bottle of wine anymore. You're going to spend seven or eight.
Well, I'll tell you what, I live right near a Tesco Express and they do a brilliant Gavi for less than a tenner.
Yeah, more than five, less than ten. That's sort of the rule, I think, isn't it? What's been your favourite guest? Who's been your favourite guest?
Oh, my God, that's like asking to choose your favourite child. Especially because so many of the guests have been my friends, so I cannot answer that. Every conversation is like its own little entity to me, and they you go to them all at different points in different moods and they give you something different, so it would be so, I mean, there's just so many brilliant conversations in our back catalogue with amazingly interesting people that give me, you know, incredible access to them to just sit and chat and ask loads of questions. And, you know, the idea is that we ask three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And where the conversation starts and where it stops and where it goes in between, you can never predict. It's wonderful. So, yeah, it's a really hard one to just say one. I can't.
Has anybody made you laugh?
Oh, God, loads of them have made me laugh out loud. Jeez. So, I mean, most of them, I'm just scrolling through my list now. Okay, so, anything with Lee Francis. So I did, there's an episode with Lee Francis, Chris Moyles and Joe Swash, all three of them together.
That is
outrageous. That is outrageously funny. I love that. Who else came on that was... Oh, God. Alex Zane and Dave Berry. They made me laugh. So many. Martin Kemp and Shirley Holloman, because of the brilliant stories that they shared from the 80s, the height of that kind of whole new romantic, them falling in love thing. I mean, and then we've had amazing comedians on. With just so many. Russell Kane was brilliant. Anne Hegarty was really funny. Craig Revel Horwood's hilarious. Daisy May Cooper and I talked about how we ended up with in a catfishing love triangle that ended up all over the papers, which was hilarious with the sea captain, which was just brilliant. So that's well worth listening to. As is last Christmas's episode. So they're all up there in the back catalog. But on Christmas Day last year, we reunited the cast of Grange Hill. And that was brilliant. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who are we talking? Zamo?
Yeah. Faye.
Roland?
No, Roland was recovering from surgery, but other than that, I had a cracker of a lineup.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm literally gobsmacked at this point because that was just, I'm searching it up as we speak. That's amazing.
But then equally this Christmas we had Ali Jones, and his stories were so phenomenally funny and brilliant that I would say he was one of our funniest episodes as well. So there's just loads in there. Go and have a rummage around.
Can I just say very quickly, we're going to have to let Kate go in a minute, but I was listening the other day when you were doing Richard and Judy, and you told this really funny story about how you were meant to be, I think you were just doing the showbiz segment with them, and then Judy was ill, and Richard was like, it's all right, Kate can do standing for Judy, and you actually had come straight from an awards show or something, and you were like, I can't possibly do that, but you did because you're a safe pair of hands.
Well, I wasn't that day. I wasn't in a fit state to drive, let alone host. I'd been at the Brits all night. I hadn't been to bed.
I bet I bet you were brilliant. That's I bet you were brilliant. Kate, so obviously we can look forward to more white wine question time. Where else can we find all your creativity and fabulousness?
Oh, well, I mean, just the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Just go there. Just go and lend us your ears if you fancy it. And if you don't, totally understand.
Irregular bitches.
Can I ask a quick mum question?
Yeah, of course you can.
I am currently attempting to parent a teenage boy. How are you getting on parenting a teenage boy?
Ah, how old's your teenager?
16.
Ah, so you're a few years ahead of me. I'm at 14.
A couple of years ahead of you,
Mine's still nice. Mm-hmm. Mine's still good. He's lovely. He still talks to me. I mean...
Lovely.
He's pulled back a bit. He spends more time in his room than he does downstairs. But fundamentally...
But you're okay.
Well, I'm looking around at what's going on with some of his peers, and I'm thinking I'm getting off really lightly. So I'm just holding on by my fingertips, going, please, let's just get through these next few years.
Couldn't be happier to hear that.
But no, it's yours a nightmare.
I definitely can't call him a nightmare, but he is
He's a challenge.
He's a challenge, yeah.
See, my, I don't know.
Lovely lad, doing his GCSEs, but
yeah, I think, we'll get there. It's tough. I think it's tough for them at this age, and there's a lot of pressure on them that I certainly never felt around exams and school. And, you know, then you add in social media and all of the other stuff that they are navigating. But yeah, so far, I mean, there's not a lot. There's, you know, I thought I'd be definitely getting more eye rolls. I mean, definitely won't hold my hand or give us a kiss in public anymore. Not allowed to post him on Instagram without seeking permission in advance and some kind of negotiation.
right.
Which is fair enough. I mean, I'm really not cool, am I?
I think you are.
But other than that, well, yeah, but you're my age. You're not 14. Yeah, okay. And it's all his mates.
True.
You know, and the thing is, you know, all his mates can Google me and create memes and take the piss, you know. When your mum's on Love of Huns, it's not good. Although I think it's quite the badge of honour.
Oh, it really is.
Love of Huns.
I mean, Kate, also, there must be Lads Mag shoots of you back in the day.
No, I never did them.
Did you never? I only did a couple. I feel sure I thought you were up there. But no, I think you were like the sexy bookish one. The one that you were like the librarian with the hair.
I just couldn't think of a single good reason why I would take my clothes off for a photo shoot. It's just like, why? And I just didn't think I was that girl. Do you know what I mean? Not that, you know, loads of my mates did it. I was just like, why would you want me to do that? No. That
you
wasn't
definitely,
me, babe.
You are definitely a hot piece
why
of
not?
Ass. Yeah. Maybe we should all stop. Maybe we should do Calendar Girls. Get all the 90s bird. No, actually, that's a terrible idea. Why did I even open my mouth? What is... I need to, but my self-edit facility is so bad now. Anyway, listen, Kate, thank you ever so much. You're so lovely. It's such a pleasure to have known you all these years. And we're so grateful.
And to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
Fab. Honestly, thank you so much for coming on and supporting our little poddy. You know, we're just over here going, hi, midlife women. And I've just been going through my Rolodex, so I do appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
Irregular bitches.
Just before we go, it's time to take a breather and reflect with our irregular bitches poet, Donna Ashworth.
Anti-aging. Anti-aging creams, pills and potions, anti-aging masks, scrubs and lotions. Put them on your skin to smooth away the years. Pat around your eyes and your neck up to your ears. And don't forget your hands, they will give the game away. They show the years you've toiled, so they must be hid away. Keep your body trim and the skin must stay elastic. If you've worshipped too much sun, you can always add some plastic. But don't look too worked on because that's not seen as right. Your youth should be all natural. You must fight the aging fight. Or you could just go get older. Show the lines this life has carved. The years you laughed and lived, the years you did not starve. Aging is not something that we women should avoid. It's a gift of time and years that not all of us enjoy. And Mother Nature knows the beauty of the years. She paints us all with love, if only we could see. There's wisdom in these wrinkles, there's starlight in our hair. There's evidence of growth and love, the stories we can share. So, join me in our aging. Let's love the skin we're in. Protect it, feed it, help it, sure. But let the aging win. Because here's a little secret. If you want to look alive, the acceptance of your journey will see your body thrive.
Irregular bitches.
That's all we've got time for today. But thank you again to Kate, to my OH for producing and editing this mini beast, to Chopasaurus for our theme music, and lastly, the cooling yogurt dip to my Vindaloo, Lady Lou, who always has the last word on the matter, and that is...
Stay cool, bitches.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.